Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we all?
Well, thank you.
Very good, very good. Oh, just going to move these magnets. I enjoy fiddling with these magnets when I'm preaching here, so please never take them away. Great to be with you this morning. Greetings from Gold Hill. We are, I don't know if you know this, but we have at Gold Hill, we have a weekly bulletin, and there's a to pray for section, and every single week, Newfield Community Church is on our prayer section. Our church is praying for you weekly and regularly. They're also praying specifically for you today because I'm, specifically for me today because I'm here. Should get that the right way around. And I guess for you as well, having to welcome me. I believe, am I right in saying that you're in the middle of a little series on sort of areas of Christian life and different things that that means, and faith and real life and how it all fits together? We're carrying on that this morning. Can I pray for us as we do? Father, I want to thank you that you are here. I want to thank you that you're here by your Spirit. I want to thank you that you're here ready to speak to us by your word. I want to thank you that you have purposes for us and you have desires for us. Thank you that you accept us and love us exactly as we are this morning. But thank you that you love us enough not to want to leave us like that. That you have a next step for us, that you have a next thing for us. And I pray that this morning, as we consider this idea of rest, that you would give us rest this morning. You would help us to step out of the traffic and to meet with you again. Amen. So, rest. That's the sort of aspect or area of Christian life and faith that I've been asked to talk about this morning. And God has a sense of humor. Because, he has a sense of humor anyway. But an example of that. This morning, whenever I'm speaking, whenever I'm preaching somewhere, I try to arrive in a timely fashion. I try to arrive, in fact, a little bit earlier than I'm needed, so that I can sit in my car, have a little pray, make sure that I'm prepared myself. Maybe sometimes go for a little wander around the neighborhood and pray for the stuff. These are things I try to do. So I try to be myself on a day like today when I'm speaking somewhere, to be operating from a place of rest and calm, not rushing about, not sort of being too hectic. This morning, my wife and I got a message from our neighbours who a while ago we lent a sofa that we weren't using. It was out in our conservatory, not being used at all. And they asked if they could borrow it, and we said yes. And today, we had a message from them saying, we've just got a new sofa, we need to drop it in at about 12:30. Great. Except that the space that it used to be occupying is now full of all kinds of other stuff. So we've got a space in our conservatory that is full of other things that suddenly we're being told 12:30 today, there's going to be a sofa landing on it. So we needed to do quite a lot of clearing out of that. And then, so that delayed me leaving a little bit. Then I was behind the slowest learner driver in the world coming out of Chalfon. And then the second slowest learner driver coming in to Marlow. That one didn't slow me down as much. All the while getting a little bit more and more hectic and panicked and internally unrested as I'm thinking, I might be late. What's going to happen? What happens if I'm late? What if they don't like me anymore? Thank you. So I had to take a little moment and pause and just say, you know what? Even though physically speaking, I'm not coming from a very restful place this morning. I'm going to come from a place of rest. I'm going to choose to rest in God this morning, nonetheless. That's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. Did anyone notice how Kenneth started the service this morning? Was it deliberate? Please tell me it was deliberate. Doesn't look like it was deliberate. Okay. Did anyone notice what his words were when he was saying, hope you've had a good
weekend?
And then what did he say? He said, hope you've had a good weekend. And then he said, today as we start a new week, hope you have a good one of those as well. And, you know, I liked that. I was really hoping it was deliberate because of what I was talking about today. I like that. Because so often we think of the weekend as Saturday, Sunday. That's the end of the week. That's the end of last week, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, new start, fresh week, go get them. And then we've got to make it through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, getting more and more tired as we go through the week. And then we get to Saturday and we can rest from all of that work we've been doing. Whew, that was a tough week. Got to rest from that. And then suddenly Monday, back into it again, and then we need a weekend to rest. We work, and then we rest from our work. That is not the model that the Bible gives us about rest. That is not the way that the Bible speaks about rest. We don't rest from our work. We work from a place of being rested, physically and spiritually. So I want to talk about that. Anyone noticed in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to be looking at a few parts of the scriptures this morning. In Genesis chapter 1, during the creation account, I'm going to read from verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was morning, and there was evening, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse before the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated water under the expanse and the water above it. And it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was morning, and there was evening, the second day. Anyone notice what I got wrong? Absolutely. I switched morning and evening. Because that's the natural way to hear about the course of a day. There was morning, then there was evening, because morning's the start of the day, and then evening is the end of the day. And then we rest, and then we start a new day. No. From the very beginnings, as God is creating the world, he's establishing that the evening is the beginning of the day. That is how Jewish people think of the course of a day. That is the way that it's described. There is evening, starting with rest. Starting with a whole night time to rest, and then there's morning. And that's the beginning of a new day in the evening. That's why Sabbath for the Jews started in the evening at sundown and went through until the next evening. It's a day that begins with rest. Our culture and our world says the day starts when your alarm goes off and you've started. Biblically, in God's way of thinking about the cycle of a day and of a week, it always starts with rest. It starts with Sabbath in a weekly context. It starts with night and rest and sleep in a daily context. It's a different way of thinking about things, but it makes such a difference. Because if we can start from a place of rest, then instead of thinking, "Oh, I've got this slog and I've got this grind, but it's okay, at the end of it I can crash," we instead think, "I'm starting rested. That's going to give me all the reserve and all the energies I need to go ahead and go through the things that God's asking me to do." So that's the kind of aim of where we're going, to put it in some context. Because there are right ways and there are wrong ways to go about our rest, to go about making sure that we are rested in God. And I'm not just talking about physical rest. Physical rest is important. I remember when a few years ago I was having some health problems, and one of the things that led to was not being able to sleep. My appetite was not great. I had no energy. Concentration was... I was not in a particularly good place. And one of the things that I said when I went to the doctor, she said to me, "Are you getting enough rest?" And I said, "Well, what does that mean if when I go to bed I can't sleep?" And she said, "Okay, well, I'll ask a different kind of question." She said, "Are you getting the right kind of rest?" And I said, "Well, again, what does that mean if I can't sleep?" But what she was trying to get at is that there are right ways to approach trying to rest, and there are wrong ways to approach trying to rest. And she was saying things, very sensible things, like, "Are you on your phone right up until the moment that you try and switch off and go to sleep?" And I had to say, "Sometimes, yes." And so she told me, "Well, stop doing that." And she said, are you making sure that when you're tired, you're not just sort of laying around and lounging, and are you getting out and getting some fresh air? Is that what you're doing? Because your body needs certain things in order to be able to rest well. Now, what I don't want to do is sound legalistic about, "Well, you must have this routine." I'm going to print out a laminated timetable for you all, so you know what your weekly routine, your yearly routine, and your daily routine should be, and then you'll be fine. Because we are all different. We have different personality types, we have different body makeups, we have different everything. In the same way that different people actually need different amounts of physical sleep, we can all approach how we get the rest from God that we need in different ways, but there are some principles that are important. This is not about physical rest. I'm going to stop pretty much talking about sleep and about whether our body is getting enough energy or about all that kind of stuff. This is about our spiritual energy, our spiritual resources. The two are deeply connected. We are not, our body and our spirit are not separate. They are intertwined and they are linked. But I want to focus on spiritual rest. I want to focus on the kind of rest that comes from God. And I want to ask this question spiritually. How are you doing? Are you tired? Do you have energy in your soul? Do you feel like you're on the point of burning out? Spiritually, where are you at? How are things going? Because just like we can think about trying to race through the week and manage and survive and get by because we can crash at the end of the week, every so often in our spiritual lives, we can get into the habit or into the trap of thinking, just got to keep on going. Just got to keep on going. I don't know where God is. I don't seem to be able to sense him. I don't really understand what the Bible's saying. Prayer is really difficult. But I just got to get by because at some point, I'll get given that shot of spiritual injection. Maybe it's a conference. Maybe it's the Sunday morning service. Whatever it is. But actually, there's a rhythm that God wants us to get into so that we can approach our lives and keep spiritually sustained instead of be in this cycle of burnout, release of energy, tired, burnout, release of energy. He wants us to get into a rhythm that is much more sustained and much more helpful. In Psalm, I want to look at briefly at two psalms, or mention two psalms. The first is very famous. Well, they're both actually pretty famous. Psalm 23 is the more famous one. Psalm 23, just the first few verses, to remind us where it is that our rest needs to come from. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Friends, you are not going to be able to sustain a spirituality that is alive and is fresh and is keeping on going without God. Not something you can do. It's not about you mustering up a sense of spiritual energy and fervor. It's got to come from God. It's something he gives us. He restores our soul. But here's the thing. We've got to let him. I don't know if I've used this image here before, but someone once talked about faith. And I think when we're talking about this idea of where our energy comes from and where our spiritual energy comes from, you can look at it in three different ways. You can look at it as three different types of boat. You can look at it, and maybe when we start out our lives as Christians, we think, right, fantastic, I've got God in my life now. God's in the boat. I'm sitting in a motorboat. God's the engine. All I have to do is say, is press the button, and I'm off. That's fine. God's going to do all the work. He's going to give me all the energy. He's going to sort it all out. I don't need to do anything. It's a motorboat. For the record, I think that's the most boring way of being on water. But then we realize after a while, that does not work. That does not work. Christian life is not about God doing everything and us doing nothing. So then we think, okay, maybe I've been a Christian for a while. I really need to try and figure this out. I guess I'm going to have to put the hard graft in and it's all about me. So we hop out of our motorboat and we jump into a rowing boat. And we think, I've got to put all of the energy in. And we're going and we're going and we feel like we're working hard. And we realize we're going nowhere. Because actually, we don't have the energy and we don't have the power and it can't come from us. So then we hop into a sailing boat, the best way to be on the water. And we realize that actually in a sailing boat, we provide none of the energy. That's all there in the wind. The wind is there. Our job is to set the sails right, to set the conditions of the boat right, to make sure we're pointing in the right direction, and God will come and fill us with the rest. When we're talking about rest, when we're talking about finding spiritual energy from God and setting that rhythm right in our lives, what we're talking about is us setting the conditions so that God can come in and sweep us away and lead us on. The other psalm I want to mention, Psalm 46, and just that famous verse, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. That simple phrase, be still and know that I am God. The language underpinning that phrase, be still, could actually perhaps better be translated something like surrender or put down your weapons. It's actually a military term. Be still and know that I'm God. In other words, stop fighting. Stop fighting and trying to do it by yourself. Stop striving and working. Just let go. Surrender. Let me be God for a minute or a day or a week or maybe even your whole life. Let me be God, because I'm the one that can do it. So, before I come to what some of the principles are that we might have in terms of finding rest and approaching rest in a right way, what are some of the things we go to for rest that are not God? What are some of the things, if God is the one who's meant to be giving us energy and security and a sense of well-being and wholeness and everything being okay, that actually gives us a sense of peace and restedness that we can then work from. If we're not going to God for those things, where might we be going? I've thought of, there are three that I can think of that I want to talk about. One is our own resources and our own security, all the things that we can do in our own lives. So I may not be getting rest from God, I may not be looking to Him for my security and well-being and all of those things. I'm looking to my bank balance. I'm looking to my own home. I'm looking to my own friends, my own, the things that I can do, the things that I've provided for myself. Of course, God has provided all of those things, but we can trick ourselves into thinking that, can't we? I'm going to look to those things. I may be frazzled. I may not know where to turn. I may be worried. I may be stressed. But it's okay, because I've got a little bit tucked away in the bank. I've got friends who I can rely on. They're going to give me the security. They're the people that I will rest on when the going gets tough. Maybe it's not about those physical things. Maybe it's about our own abilities, our own strength. Yeah, I'm stressed. I don't really know what I'm doing. I feel as though I'm really frazzled. I don't really know how I'm going to get through the next week or month because I've got so much I need to do, and I don't really feel that spiritually sustained. But you know what? I know I'm pretty good at this stuff. I know I'm good at my job. I know I'm all right with that. I can just keep on going. I've got enough strength in me that I don't really need to look to God for it. Or maybe actually we try to cover over the cracks with things about us that we know aren't that good, with the flaws or the sin that we know still holds us sometimes. We know still grips us. And so instead of trying to find resources and strength and energy from God in ways that are healthy, we find them in ways that aren't healthy. We get into habits that are not good for us because they'll tick us over. We get caught up in stuff. That may be something that may not be something as strong as an addiction, but we get into a habit and a routine and a lifestyle that kind of just keeps us going, but it's not healthy. It's not good for us. Where do you look for your rest? How is it on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a yearly basis? You get by and you keep on going in your physical self and in your spiritual self. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is talking to people. He's talking to, found it. He's talking to the crowds. He's talking to his followers. And he says this, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you take nothing else from this morning, please take this. If you want to be rested in your soul, in your spirit, the only place to go is Jesus. The only one who can give you that, who can give you that sustenance, who can give you that energy, who can rest you so that you can face what lies ahead, not just fill you up from what's gone before. The only one is Jesus. Why? Because He is at rest. In the scriptures, we hear that after He had made atonement for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Father. In our society, most people work while sitting down at a desk with a laptop or a computer. Not everyone does. But in our society, sitting down doesn't necessarily mean you're at rest. For me, when I'm standing up, well, at the minute I'm kind of doing what I do, but a lot of the time I'm sitting down working. If I'm up and about, it's probably because I'm resting. I'm off duty. I'm off work. I'm going for a walk. Or I'm in the society in which those words were written, work was done standing up. There was no such thing as a desk job in that time, unless you were a carpenter. That was a joke. And for Jesus to sit down at the right hand of the Father meant that His work was done. And He is at rest. Jesus Himself is at rest. And He wants to grant some of that rest to us. He's also an example of someone who is at rest. He's an example in His human life, in those 30-odd years, he's an example of someone who mastered the habits of rest. And it is a discipline. It is, It is a discipline and a routine to get into. How seriously do we take Sabbath? Our society doesn't take it very seriously at all. At all. So many things about British law and about British society, nothing really stops one day a week anymore. How seriously do we take that concept of Sabbath? Do we take a day each week? For me, Sunday is a working day. So for me, that is not a Sunday, although I still try to approach life differently on a Sunday. But where for you in your week is that deliberately set aside time where you are not working? There are a number of reasons why that's good. One is that physically, we are built, we are wired for that. There's so many medical research and journal things out there that say, look, we are not wired to work 7 days a week. We are wired to work and rest for at least one day per week. Another reason, someone when I was starting out in church ministry said to me, Dave, get into the habit of having your day off and being disciplined with it. Because you're young at the minute. You could probably get by a few weeks in a row and manage and not be too physically exhausted. You could do that. One of the reasons that you need not to is that you need to know that the church you work for can survive for one whole day in seven without you lifting a finger because you're really not that important, Dave. That's important for us to know that the things that God has called us to are bigger than us. The things that he has asked us to work on and to be pursuing are bigger than us. We can rest, and the whole world won't crumble down around us. Jesus was an example of rest, of someone who had mastered rest, because he took Sabbath seriously. Sabbath was a principle of one day in seven, but there was more of a principle in the culture and in what God lays out in the Old Testament. There was a yearly cycle as well, with different festivals and different things going on, and every 7 years there was an even greater approach to rest, and every lots of seven years, the whole land for a whole year was meant to rest. God is saying in this, not that we should approach that same principle in exactly the same way, but God is saying, look, you have a whole life ahead of you. You need to get into that process of on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a yearly basis, and a larger scale even than that basis. Where are you taking that rest? Where are you carving out that time and saying, I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest from my work. I'm going to seek God again. And I'm going to allow him to restore my soul. Jesus is an example of the rest that God gives us. How many times in the Gospels do we hear that Jesus retreated to a quiet place? He retreated to a quiet place after he'd spent time with the crowds. He also retreats to a quiet place before going back to the crowds. He's stepping away from all the things that, all of his tasks, all his to-do lists, all the people he needs to see. He's stepping away and he's saying, I'm going to take some time with you, Father. I'm going to take some time with you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you, because then I will have what I need to go back to what I'm doing, to go back to what you've called me to. There is a discipline about this. It will mean that you need to say no to things. If you're going to carve out that space and that time, you're going to need to say no. You're going to need to approach a different, you're going to need to take a different approach to life than a lot of the people around you in your life will. The people that you might work with, people in your family. I remember when I was at university, and it was a pretty hectic work schedule. There was quite a lot that needed to be done, and most people ended up getting behind on stuff a lot of the time. It was not uncommon for people to pull an all-nighter. So people would have their energy drinks and they'd be in the library, and they, not that you're allowed your drinks in the library, but they'd manage. And they would work through the night because they had a deadline the next day. And that was kind of the approach. You'd kind of be a little bit slack, play it easy, not do much. Oh no, I've got an essay due tomorrow. I'm going to have to pull an all-nighter. And it was not a good rhythm. It was disjointed. It was not a particularly healthy way to live. And I decided at the beginning, I was going to try very hard not to get into that. And so, unlike a lot of my colleagues and contemporaries, I actually was in the library at 8:30 in the morning after breakfast. And I was in the library until about 6:30 in the evening when dinner happened. And I took an hour and a bit for lunch. But I worked really hard during the day. And I didn't work at all in the evening. And I didn't work at all on a Saturday or a Sunday. And with only a couple of exceptions, I managed to sustain that habit and that routine for 3 years. And you know what? I got pretty much the same grade as everyone else. Other people who were telling me, and at some points very angrily telling me, Dave, you're not taking your study seriously enough. You're not working hard enough if you're never in the library in the evening. How could you possibly take 2 days? I remember someone 10 weeks before my finals happened. I went and spoke on a youth weekend away with the church I was in. Someone shouted at me. Someone actually shouted at me because they said I wasn't taking my degree seriously enough, and I was privileged to be going to be at university and to be studying. And how could I possibly be doing that? And I said to them, we just clearly have different priorities. I'm taking my degree seriously. I'm working very hard. But this is something I think God's asking me to do, and I'm going to go and do it. And there's a sense of, where are your priorities? Is the first thing that goes out of the window your time with God in a day? Is that the thing that gets crowded out very quickly? Where do those priorities sit? What routines and rhythms can you get into? Just like there is no one right way to approach physical rest, but there are some wrong ways. It's sort of suggested that we need roughly 8 hours a day of sleep. If you took that as 20 minutes every hour for the whole day, it wouldn't be that good for you. 20 minutes sleeping, 40 minutes awake. That is a wrong way to approach sleep. There are wrong ways to approach this, but there is no one right way to approach getting that rhythm with God. What's going to work for you? What's going to be sustainable so that on a daily basis you're making sure you connect with Him in order to do what you've got to do in that day? On a weekly basis, you're making sure you're carving out that time with God so that He can give you what you need for that week. And on a yearly basis, you are creating space, maybe to go away, to retreat, to take some time so that God can give you what you need for that next year. Jesus is an example of that. At no point did Jesus burn out in His ministry. And He was busy. At no point did he have to, you know, call a sick day, or did He have to do anything that showed that He was stressed or struggling to do the things He was going to do. He was an incredibly busy person, but He was allowing God to sustain Him. So Jesus says, come to Me, all of you who are weary. Yes, because He's an example. Yes, because He's the one who is at rest. But also because He wants to give something to us. He says, come to you, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm not going to go into the next verse because I know you're going to be looking at it next week. He says, come, all you who are weary and burdened. Jesus doesn't say, sort all your stuff out, get rid of all your baggage, and then we can have a nice bit of quiet time together. A friend of mine objects to this idea of calling these times with God each day a quiet time. He says, mine often get quite noisy because I've got some stuff I need to say to God. He's saying, I've got things that I need to work out and I've got things that I need to sort out. And sometimes that feels a bit more like a wrestling match than a nice, quiet, peaceful garden scene. Come with your burdens. Come with the things you're struggling with, or you're angry about, or you're upset with. That's the kind of person that Jesus wants to come to Him. Come with Me, come to Me, all of you who are burdened, and I'll give you rest. There's no point trying to approach God, trying to come to Him, pretending that you're something else. We come to Him exactly as we are. Tired, stressed, busy, excited, happy, sad, joyful, depressed, despairing, hopeful. However we are today, God has some rest for you. So I wonder if even today, you could decide to do something more than you'd planned to do, to carve out a little bit of space, to say, I'm going to take this half hour that I might have spent watching the telly, or I might have spent doing whatever it is you're doing. I'm going to take that half hour, and I'm going to say, if Jesus says to me, come, you who are weary and heavy burdened, I'm going to come to Him. I'm going to sit at His feet. I'm going to open His word. I'm going to listen to Him in prayer. Started by saying, how are you doing? How are you doing spiritually? Maybe there's something about adopting a new rhythm. Maybe there's something about deliberately not looking to some of those other things to give you the sustenance you need. How are you doing? Where can you approach and take a different angle on rest? Who needs to be refreshed right now? If that's you, then in your heart, I just saw one person put a hand up. It's very brave. Whether you are doing that or whether you're putting a hand up in your heart, I want to pray for us. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for Newfield Community Church that this would be a church which is rested. Not because you're lazy. This is one of those other things in our society, is that people think that if you're taking time to rest, it's because you're lazy. We should all be gung-ho working 24/7 at a massively fast pace. What if we looked different from the world? What if we, even though we are busy people, looked rested, looked replenished? What if, as we approach this very busy Christmas season, we still had a spring in our step? We were still excited. We were still happy. We looked as though life wasn't on top of us, because actually, with Jesus, we are on top of life. Would that be a powerful statement to the world, where every time you ask someone, how are you doing, the first word out of their mouth is busy? What if instead we said, rested? What if that was the lasting impression that people had of what we're like? I want to pray for you, because I'm waffling. Father God, thank you that you are at rest. Thank you that you are at peace. Thank you that your work is in one sense complete, because you have defeated every enemy. Thank you that there is nothing more that needs to be added to what your Son did on the cross. And as your Son says to us, come, you who are weary and heavy burdened, I pray you would help us to come, to step out of the busyness, to step out of the traffic, to surrender and let you be God. Help us to find rest in you, that we then may then take up the work you've given us. Help us to develop routine and habit and cultures in our life that are centered on you, that are giving space for you. I pray you would release energy and replenishing and rejuvenation and restoration on my brothers and sisters here, on this church family, that they would have a different ethos and DNA and dynamic because they know you. You are our shepherd. With you, we have no want. You make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us by still waters. Would you right now restore our souls?